Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our first study of the new year titled Current Events Update 2020 Full Edition. This is part 2 of 2.
And I got to tell you something. A couple times I was in a church where I was just existing. I didn't have anywhere else to go. I believe they were saved. They didn't preach error. They just never taught anything. You know what I mean? You didn't get a heresy from the pulpit. You just got nothing. And I'd been starving to death, and I was out there and I was reading other people's books and listening to other things. But then they had an evangelist in. And this fellow wasn't just a blowhard who wanted a bunch of people up at the altar call, as they called it. He preached. He preached truth. I mean, he really nailed it. And man, he laid into those people one night about being ignorant and not knowing anything. And there were two or three other guys in there that were pretty well studied. So there was like four of us amening him. It was like 200 and some people. And like four of us like, yeah, preach it. Amen. Amen, amen. You know, everybody else just sitting there like, what is this? Look on their face. But when I was pastor down in Hamilton, Ohio, I had a preacher like that come in. And he just tore it up, man. Because he asked me beforehand, I said, hey, you know, you do what God leads you to do. And if it's heresy or, you know, you get too out of hand or anything, I'll tell you. But let it rip. So he got up there and he just let it go about, you know, how we've got this book and it is infallible. It's wonderful. And, you know, and then so many of you don't even read it and you don't know what's in it and everything. And I was sitting there thinking, well, I mean, I just give you a little taste. I mean, he really ripped it up. And I sat there thinking, either we're going to have revival or they're going to kick me out of here for having this guy in. Yeah. And I'm telling you, after he got done, people come down to that altar. He had an altar call. And people come down there and just weeping and saying, I have just been so wrong and I've failed and I don't want... Saw some changes. And that's why it was so bad just a few weeks later when they kicked me out of there. The denomination kicked me out. The people were on fire. God was doing a work there. And a denomination, Ohio Free Will Baptist Home Mission Board, killed the work of God. And that's what denominations will do. But 1 Thessalonians 5, I just want to read verses 4 and 6, and don't close it because we'll come back to it. But read verses 4 through 6 with me. Are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There it is. That's, folks, that's what it means to be a Christian. I mean, it's right there, black and white. Amen. We're of the day. Light, not darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And I have felt like an outcast among Christians for 30 years because I want to watch.
Try 40.
If I'd been saved in 1980 instead of 1979 instead of 1989. I don't care if you've been saved 5 years. If you want to watch and you want to know what's going on, you want to know the book and you want to see reality and you want to face reality and you want to deal with reality, you're going to feel like an outcast.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, how many people you got in your life that you can talk about this stuff about, Doug? Count them on one hand. Outside of BBF, I mean.
Yeah.
I better make sure I say we got more than one hand. But when you leave BBF and you go home, you got a spouse. I got a spouse. But I mean, outside of your home and outside of BBF, how many people can you even talk to about stuff?
Yep.
Without ending up with an argument besides that. You know, because if you do talk about it, they're like, wow, that's a little radical. That's a little extreme, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, a lot of people don't realize, and that's why I'm glad some of them are watching online. They'll watch it later and listen to it on the radio, because you are not alone, even though you may feel alone.
Yeah, that's
You may not have hardly anybody in your life you can talk to about these things, but if you're spirit-filled, full of the Word of God, really love the Lord and want to talk about these things, you may feel alone, but we're out here.
Amen.
There's a remnant. There always is a remnant. And the remnant is a small number, but it's in a small number spread all over the world. So you got a small number here and a small number there and a small number there. But when the rapture happens, it's going to fill up a good portion of the sky.
Amen.
I mean, it ain't going to fill it all up. There'll be more satellites probably than there will be Christians. That's a joke. I'm not kidding. But I mean, you seen how many satellites there are up there? So what should we be watching for in the upcoming year? Spend a few minutes talking about this. I like talking to you folks. I mean, you don't say stupid things too often. Events on the horizon. Now, we've had these current events updates, and we've actually had prophecy updates, and we've talked about how the stage is being set. So what are we looking for in the coming year? When it comes to apostasy in Christendom, you may be thinking, well, what else can happen? I mean, how bad can it get? How many of you see, this isn't really related, but I got to bring it up. Did you see? Well, you know, I'm wearing my Pope shirt. For those of you out there, Sister Marilyn came up with this because I was accused of being a cult leader about 3 or 4 years ago. And it's because I wouldn't let them teach that if you follow a certain health regimen, you can cure all disease and never die. You know, like the curse had been lifted because they've discovered. And so since I wouldn't allow that to be taught, can you see it then?
I think it's pretty good.
Okay. And so I was accused of being I used to joke about, I still do, being a benevolent dictator. I'm benevolent. And so anyway, that's where that joke comes from. But did you see the Pope shaking hands today? Or was it today?
It was today.
Yeah. And this little Asian lady. I say Asian because I'm not sure what part of Asia. But he was shaking hands and he turned his head and she grabbed his hand. And then as he started to walk away, she pulled on him and he went back like this. And he turned and he started, and like he was cussing her in Italian or something. And yeah. And so, you know, later he apologized. But you know, he claims to be Christ on earth. That's where they claim he's vicar of Christ. Christ on earth. That's what they claim. That's Roman Catholic doctrine. Well, Sunday, Jesus was being held by a mob. And all he did was walk right through him. Come on, little Jesus Pope. One little Asian girl holding on to your hand. Why couldn't get out of that without throwing a hissy fit? Amen?
Amen.
What is wrong with what I said? Isn't that true? He claims to be Jesus on earth. How could he let a little Asian girl upset him like that? Jesus was mobbed. They were getting ready to throw him off a cliff. Yeah.
How many times did Jesus have to apologize for it?
Yeah. I think it was in Mark 17 when he held that press conference. I know these last 3.5 years have been difficult on the Pharisees and Sadducees. And I just want to say, can't we all get along? Oh, that wasn't Jesus. That was Rodney King. So you think about how bad it's gotten in Christendom with the apostasy.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
So look for it the coming year. There are going to be more and more churches. It's like amazing to me. When I got saved, one of the first things I did after I started getting serious about studying the Bible was picked up a couple of books on Bible prophecy. Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, and then Dave Hunt's book. I think it was the one about the coming Holocaust. And I'm trying to think of the full name of it. But anyway, I read those books. I read them in a month. I mean, it took me a month to read two books because I read 10, 20 pages a day. And then I'm like, they both quoted Scripture, but Dave Hunt especially quoted the Scripture showing that apostasy is one of the great signs of the end times.
Yeah.
Now my generation was in high school when those books were, well, Hal Lindsey's written in the early 70s, but it was still a big thing in the late 80s, and Dave Hunt's book came out in the late 80s. Here we had it handed to us on a silver platter, saying, this is what you look for, folks. The Bible says this is what's going to happen. They are now, my generation and the generations after, now it's the millennials or whatever, they are fulfilling those prophecies. We were told, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be this sodomite revival. Not one of us would have believed you if you'd told us gay marriage would be legalized. Not one of us would have believed you if we told you that the Democrat Party is this close to nominating a gay man, so quote unquote, as their nominee so that he can become president and have gay sex in the White House with his quote unquote legal husband. When I got saved, that was unheard of. And now we've gone so far into wickedness. But you know what the wickedness, the greatest wickedness is? The professing Christians who don't even take it seriously. Yes. The queers have always been queers. It's Christians who are so spiritually dead that they don't even realize how far gone we are. Yep. That's why you're going to see more of that in the upcoming year. Anti-Christian persecution. Of course, I think everybody probably saw the Church of Christ incident where the man with a fake beard and a wig on goes in, pulls out a shotgun, blows away two men. But an armed man in the congregation who was trained, so you need to be trained, you need to shoot and learn your gun and all that. One headshot, pop, wow. Saved unknown numbers of lives.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, all I can tell you is there are a few of us ready. If someone comes here and try to blow people away, they're going to get blown away.
Amen. Amen.
But the more the merrier. If any of you don't have a concealed carry, don't have a gun on you right now, go do it this year. Make that your New Year's resolution. What's that?
If you don't have a sword, don't get one.
Yeah. And if you want to try to beat them with a sword, go ahead and bring your sword. But I'm going to use a 9mm. I know what you mean, but people say that. People say, well, Jesus had a sword. Well, then try it with a sword. I'm going to use 9mm. Because he's meant...
That wicked person up in New York used a machete.
A machete. And, you know, sadly, there's some of the brethren are real spiritual, and they say, well, I just believe we should, turn the other cheek. Yeah. All right. Let them blow your family away and see how spiritual you think you are. There's men who've done that. I'm speaking to the men right now. There are men who've done that. They've been so spiritual that they wouldn't protect their families. When their family was killed, they changed their tune. But it's too late. Anti-Semitism, anti-Israel, of course it's going on up in New York big time right now, but it's going on all over the world. And folks, it's just a fact that every time atheists take over a country like they did Soviet Union or wherever, they kill the Jews. They hate the Jews. Every time Islam controls a country, they kill the Jews. And sadly, it's true about Hinduism, Buddhism. It's true about all those. And it's true about the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox. There's only one religion on the face of the earth outside of Judaism itself in its various forms. There's only one form of religion that is not anti-Semitic. That is dispensational Christianity.
Right. Amen.
Christians who are not dispensational, you talk to them long enough, you'll get it out of them.
Yep.
Heresy begets heresy. And I can't tell you how many times when somebody tries to change my mind on dispensation, it's only a matter of time before they get to the Jews.
Yep.
And start bad-mouthing me because you're one of them Christian Zionists. And I'm like, yes, I am. Yeah. What am I supposed to feel ashamed for being right? And then globalism, and when I say that, I mean in trade and currency. Here's what I'm going to pick on the Republicans. Of course, the Democrats are almost all on board with this too. But the main, what they call elitist Republicans, the Koch brothers, the Bush family, McCain, Romney, Bob Dole, all of them, All of them were traitors.
Amen.
Every one of them want to sell you out for the global trade. It's not fair. It's not free trade. It's not free trade. They call it free trade, and they say, we shouldn't use tariffs. You know what they mean? They mean the other guys should be able to use tariffs. We give away the farm. Because they don't care about America. And they could, you could take that flag down tomorrow. And I include Bob Dole and all these veterans who use their service in the military as a crutch and an excuse for the stuff they do to this country. I don't care. You know what? My grandfather served in this country, in the military for this country, and he would tell you the same thing. Just because you're a veteran doesn't mean you're not a traitor.
Amen.
Benedict Arnold was one of the most decorated soldiers in our military at the time when he tried to give away West Point.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening in the Republican Party, in these elitists in the Republican Party. They don't care about America, and they would give in to the one world order tomorrow. George H.W. Bush preached it. And so when you got the Democrats who don't care about America, they hate this country, and they would give in to the global. And they even you talk to the typical Democrat today, especially ones below the age of 50, they'll tell you, I'm a global citizen first.
That's what
Obama said when he was elected president. Yeah, John. 5, world government as related to the trade and currency thing, setting up the global currency and all that, is just the global government. And that is why they hate Donald Trump. You need to understand what Donald Trump has done with the United Nations, NATO, and other things like that has been to set back world government by about 20 years. Now, the rapture will change all that in a second. But as long as we're here, then that has been the result. It's set back world government by at least 20 years. And that's why they hate Donald Trump.
They hate him for
that. Sodomite culture war. And yes, it's going to get worse. What's happening now is if you will not say to a man who big burly man comes in here with a beard like mine or Charlie's, and then he says, ma'am, I identify as a woman. And if you won't call him that, in some places, you will get fined. And if you do that on the job, you'll get fired.
Yeah.
And it's expanding every month. More and more companies, more and more cities, more and more. In Worthington, if you will not go along with the LGBT agenda, they will refuse to give you a license to do business.
Yeah.
And Westerville's right behind them. And it's just encroaching more and more, this sodomite culture war. And I'll say it and move on. It will never be enough.
Yeah.
Christians have compromised, thinking, well, we'll just let them do this and they'll leave us alone. It'll never be enough. You have to completely give yourself over, not to just, tolerate the sodomite culture. You must be an ally and you must actively work to promote it.
Embrace
it and promote it. And if you try to, for example, in Hollywood will not employ an actor if they don't think you're an ally. And more actors are coming out saying, I can't get work. Why? Because I won't come out and actively promote the Sodom and Gomorrah lifestyle. And it's not just that what happens with the nutcases in Hollywood always comes into the culture. It's happened since I was a kid. I know it's happened before that. And the last thing is counterfeit apocalyptic cults. Netflix has a series now on some fake messiah. And there's several LDS offshoots that are apocalyptic, in the story in the news that a little boy and a little girl disappeared. And their own parents, own mother, will not help the authorities try to find them. And they're part of an LDS, Mormon offshoot, apocalyptic cult. And there's going to be more and more off of it. It sounds strange, but what happens is people go into a kind of an academic and scholarly kind of attitude They think they're scholarly. Next thing you know, they're believing anything. And they go into these weird cults. And you're going to see more and more of that. I think in this next year, you're going to see some crazy stuff. And that's just part of it. But where we left off there in 1 Thessalonians 5, I want to pick up in verse 7 and have you read the odd verses with me through 11. So pick up there, read in verse 7. For God hath not called us... I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So the message is, we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to be awake. But it's not something to sit around and quiver in fear. We're not telling, you know, I'm not up here getting ready to pitch bunkers and, you know, survivalist type things to you, because that's not what we're told to do. You know, if we were supposed to build bunkers and start saving up for the apocalypse, I think he would have mentioned it somewhere in here. You know, so God has not appointed us to wrath, but build a bunker and store at least 5 years worth of food. You know, just never end. Well, if you're in that dispensation, but yeah, exactly. Yeah, he told Noah because Noah needed to do that. He's not telling us that because that's not what we're doing. We're looking for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We watch but have no fear. And I want to read one last text and then we'll close, or you, yeah, give a couple minutes for questions. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9. I want to read verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Read verses 7 through 9. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And we could go on and on. That's a great passage. But there you go. That's how you should enter into the coming year. We should look at what's going on, be aware of what's going on, preach the gospel,
amen.
Hand out gospel tracts. Every day could be your last opportunity to do that, and when you get to heaven, you will not be able to do that anymore.
Amen.
So take advantage of the opportunity and live confident in the promises of God. Something I'm telling you, if you're not, I'm not asking you to confess or anything like that, but if you're not reading through the Bible, you're not picking this thing up and just reading it as God wrote it, you're robbing yourself, because that's where faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what will give you confidence. So just a minute or two for questions. Anybody want to ask or say anything along the lines of what we've been talking about?
I was just going to mention, you're talking about the apostasy. Just Charmaine over in our group posted pictures of a church, a Baptist church down in her, where she lives, that was flying the sodomite flag and everything. I've never, you know, you see it in these Methodist churches, but this was in a Southern Baptist church. That was something.
And churches are leaving denominations if they can't go full sodomite without the denomination coming down on them. So they're going independent so that they can be more like Sodom. Charlie?
I was talking to some guys at work, and they expect, like, the Christians have been quiet for so long that they now think that the separation of church and state means, no, no, you can't be a Christian. Like, you can't, if you're a Christian, you have to shut up about it. Like, they, it's we're allowed in this country, our government has guaranteed that we have the right to freely practice our religion.
Right.
But Christians aren't doing it.
Yeah.
You know, that is codified in our legal system.
Yeah.
We have that protection. And because people have been so quiet about it for so long, we're destroying
our own rights.
Right. They, mm-hmm. Because you have not held
exercise.
On to that law, like we haven't actually, Christians have been so quiet about it for so long that all this case law has popped up.
Precedent.
That we're not, that there's all this legal precedent now.
I do want to close with a word of prayer before we sing. And Father, we do ask that you help us to stand strong with courage and not rely on our own strength, but ask that your Holy Spirit embolden us, fill us with your Spirit and your Word, that we would take a bold stand for Jesus, for righteousness, and most importantly, for the declaration of the gospel. As we tell the world that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, he conquered sin and death with his resurrection. After having paid for the sins of the whole world with his shed blood. And we call on the world to repent and believe that gospel. And may 2020 be a banner year that we would do as good a job as we ever have. The message out. And Lord, help us to be watchful. And we do ask for your protection, your mercy, but to give us a willing heart that if we're called upon to suffer, that we will do so willingly. And we rely on you for all that courage and strength that we'll need. And again, thank you for being so good to us as we enter into a new year for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be in working or in waiting. Another year will be. Another year of meaning upon thy life.
Three, happy
New Year!
Have a good year.